Welcome back to the Flatback 4 podcast. On today's episode, we discuss the top 10 Premier League centre-backs of all time. Daly's out of this one with a slight knock, so we've had to revert to a back three for this one. Yes, boys, so today we're going to run down through our top 10 centre-backs of all time in the Premier League. Elliot's out with a slight knock tonight, so I'm taking over as the host. I have to try tame Kenna, the beast. So first of all, there is 15 players selected throughout our top 10s. So I'll run through a few of the players that missed out here first. We had Tony Adams, Marcel Desailly, Ledley King, William Gallas, and Aymeric Laporte. So I'm going to just say a word on Tony Adams because Kenna, you had him seventh and unfortunately no one else picked him. A word on him.
Adams, he was like Mr. Arsenal, wasn't he? Leader, captain of that side. Transformed that Wenger side, didn't he, into this phenomenon of a defence. I'd only seen him for 2 years, but in those 2 years, Dixon, I mean, such a leader on the pitch. Brutal warrior. Never say die attitude. He was kind of the original non-nonsense defender of the Premier League that I can kind of remember before all it modernised into different ways that we'll discuss later, but very high stand. I'm sure if we've seen him for more years, he would have been even higher on my list, maybe top three or more.
Yeah, 100%. I'd agree with that. Like, he obviously came into my thinking, but I didn't see enough of him. Chrissy, you had Desailly ninth, and no one else had him in, unfortunately. Another obviously quality defender as well. Chrissy, you had then Ledley King in 10th. You were the only one to pick him. I think for me, if he was probably less injury prone, definitely would have got in. What did you make of King?
Yeah, I thought when he was on the pitch, he was brilliant. And I suppose when I was going through my defenders and thinking about it, it's unfortunate for him that he gets left out of all these things because when he was actually playing, he was top class and everyone knew it. He was just brilliant and he suffered in his club career and he's kind of for his country as well because he was just so talented and the injuries just held him back so much. So I suppose it was kind of maybe feeling sorry for him in a way that he was so talented, but was just hit with so many injuries that I put him in. But, you know, I think he's one of those defenders that when you think of the great defenders, when they're actually on the pitch, he deserves a mention, you know, Ledley King. Yeah.
Kenna, do you think if he was fit more often, would Spurs have won a few more trophies or competed at the top of the league?
I think he would have been sold, lad. I think a bigger club could have tapped him away, honestly. But they could have been up further up the league at that time.
Yeah.
Fit for 38 games, I'd say, a season.
Yeah, 100%.
But, yeah, great defender.
Yeah, I'll just run through. I was the only one to pick William Gallas. I had him in 10th. I know now he played kind of across the back four, but I think mainly he'll be remembered for a centre-back. For 5'11", I thought he was a bit of a monster of an athlete. His Chelsea career as well, 2001 to 2006, 159 games, 72 clean sheets, and 101 wins out of that. That's a phenomenal record. So that was my little curveball there at the end, but unfortunately no one else voted for him. And then Daly had Aymeric Laporte in 10th. I think I might have to pull him up on that next podcast. What do you think, lads?
100%. 100%.
Where is he going with that one?
Where is he going?
Yeah. I don't know what he's watching. Prezi when he watches strikers.
Oh. It's like a city love affair. Like, how would you pick Laporte? You might as well pick Otamendi.
Oh, Demichelis from him.
I agree with him on that one. Yeah.
So we may make a point to make sure we let him know that now.
What was the right top of the points? What was the top of the points, Dixon? How much did the winner come in?
Yeah. So our number one centre back had 40 points.
Wow.
So we all know who it is now, but I won't give it away yet. And number 10 had 5 points, but from second to fifth it was very close, so it'll be interesting to see now. So we'll run through it then. Number 10, it's Jamie Carragher. For me, I didn't have him selected, it was only Daly and Chrissy, so the two Liverpool lads, but for me, I just thought he was a bit too emotional on the pitch, like, as in I didn't feel like he had much composure, and maybe if he's part more of a successful era in Liverpool, I would have definitely included him. But Chrissy, obviously a huge part of Liverpool fans, their their feeling towards the club. What did you think of Carragher?
Yeah, I loved him, of course, and it does play on your mind a bit when you're a fan of him, because he gave everything for the club. So it does kind of, I suppose, play on your mind. It's very hard to be impartial kind of doing it when you're such a big fan of Carragher and what he was like. And I suppose there was 2 years there around the time that Liverpool won the Champions League where I kind of felt that he kind of went up a level for like 2 years. Like, he wasn't as good as, let's say, a Terry, a Vidic, but he kind of maybe competed at that level maybe for about a 2 year period, but he couldn't do that consistently throughout his career. And I think that's what held him back. But for that 2 year period, I thought he was absolutely outstanding for Liverpool. You know, he put his head where people wouldn't put their foot, body on the line. And you could say in ways, technically, like, he was very limited, but he made up for it so much in his kind of savage work rate and, you know, heart of a warrior kind of on the pitch.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Kenna, did he come close to your top 10 or was he an outside show?
He's about 14th, 15th lad on my list that I had. Okay. I would have had Gary Cahill, David Luiz, Leddy King all ahead of Carragher. Again, that's not taken away from Carragher. I thought he was very good in those two. I thought he was, you know, real out and out, you know, out for war, ready for battle. I thought he had good partners during the years. I thought he had Tammy Hippier or Agger. I thought he brought other people on to a new level as well. But I thought there was better ones I would have thought around that time. And I suppose when I was thinking of Carragher and comparing him against other centre-halves that played in that era, who he would have been up against, let's say, that had different characteristics even for England or for their other clubs, who they would have been up against. And he just doesn't make my cut, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, that's actually very well put. So Carragher ended up with 5 points between Chrissy and Daly selection. And number nine also had 5 points, but he goes above Carragher because he placed higher in one of our top tens, and that is Yapstam. For me, Yapstam, I know we talk about Adams and Kenny, you alluded to, he was the first no-nonsense defender, and I think of Colin Hendry as well, but I think Stam was the ultimate hard man. I even think he's probably harder than those two. And I think he was key to United's late 90s success, which was one of the most successful periods in United's history. So absolutely. I had him placed sixth. And Kenny, you had him 10th. But Chrissy, you didn't have him in at all?
No, he's another one of those that I watched clips and seen so much about, but I actually don't remember seeing that much of him. But from what I hear, it'd be, you know, kind of question that it'd be in my top 10 if I'd have seen more. I seen actually a clip of a testimonial match, I think it was, and literally everybody is there just playing football and he's still going through lads with a serious face. And it just kind of shows you the type of man he was when he was on the pitch. It was no nonsense. Just so feared as a centre back. You know, if you're in a tunnel and you're looking at him going down that tunnel, you're scared. You're definitely scared. And just a quality player at the back of it as well. Just probably raging, I suppose. I just didn't see more of him, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. Obviously, as a United fan, I would have looked at him a good bit in the late 90s, early 2000s. I think it was a huge mistake letting him go. Kenny, you're a fan of him as well, yeah?
Oh, hard as nails, then. Absolutely hard as nails. Again, I only would have seen him for a short period until he was sold in 2001, but in that crucial period, you know, three Premier Leagues, did he win it in three straight years? And the Champions League, that part of that treble side, definitely a striker's worst nightmare when you see Yapstam on the pitch and you're coming up against him. I think Fergie alluded to that it was a big mistake letting him go, but I can see he would have been definitely a top three if he had been there long term, lad, definitely.
Yeah, 100%. I think he went to Lazio, wasn't it?
Lazio for 16 million, but
crazy.
Think of him. I remember a game against Leeds, Dixon, just before we go. I remember yous were getting absolutely punnelled to pieces by Leeds. I think the game was 1-1 now. The game should have been over. But if it wasn't for that man, that was one game that I can remember. Yeah, really amazing.
Yeah. I'd say he ate bricks for breakfast. Like, that's the type of man he was. We'll move on then to number eight, and he was number eight by a bit of a clear distance of the other two. He was 9 points, and that is Sammy. Big Sammy Hoop, yeah. I'll come to you first, Chrissy, because I think he's the reason you have Carragher in your top 10, if you know what I mean. Because I thought he was the composed presence. He was strong. He was a leader. Like, I thought he brought Carragher's game on, if you know what I mean. And then I think Carragher then took over from him. But obviously, I'd say you have great memories of Sammy.
Yeah, great memories. I always thought he was underrated. And the fact I actually didn't put him in kind of, I suppose, solidifies my point on it of how underrated he kind of was in the Premier League.
Oh, yeah. I just realised you didn't put him in. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I didn't put him in. So I kind of, it speaks volumes about, I suppose, how underrated he really is. And I've always kind of said it, but yet I didn't even put him in my team. Or my top 10.
Ah, lad.
He's...
myself, Kenneth, and... Daly had him in 8, so he got 3 points from each of us. That's the 9 points making that up. Jeez, I can't believe he didn't have him in.
Yeah, I'm probably surprised myself now looking back. And always a huge admirer as well, because I always said he was underrated. And I think he actually worked well with Carragher in that partnership. He was actually better on the ball than people probably gave him credit for. Good,
definitely.
Positioning wise, heading in the air was always a threat too. Yeah, and just I thought he was always one of those cult hero at Liverpool too. He was there in kind of the bad times and the good times, maybe under Julio. You know, and just loved throughout the club. So maybe a mistake for me when I look back. Definitely to put him in.
Yeah, I definitely say it's an oversight by yourself. Sure, you're even underrating him yourself. And yeah. I'd say he's a bit more than a cult hero at Liverpool, to be honest. I'd say he's a bit of a legend. And that's strong words coming from me, a United fan. I was a huge fan of him. And were you Kenny, yeah?
Absolutely. He was a rock at the back, wasn't he? Man mountain of a guy. But I think he was very good on the ball as well, as like Chrissy said. At times that guy was, you know, impassable. You couldn't get past him. And I think he could have played for a Chelsea, United or Arsenal around that time, Dixon, even part of competition on that squad. I thought he was superb. And I can't believe a Liverpool fan there. Like, he brought Carragher to that level and beyond, like, you know. So, and he had to partner Henshaw as well, remember?
Very true, very true. The big Finn gets in number 8. And then we take a big 16 points for position number 7. And it is the man himself, Sol Campbell. Obviously, I remember Sol from the Invincible season. He was an animal. Daly and Chrissy had him very high. Daly actually had him number 4 and Chrissy number 6, I think.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have him rated that highly, but that's what bumps up his score a good bit. But what do you remember of Sol, Chrissy?
Yeah, I thought he was a great defender. You know, a big man himself, dealt with balls really well. And I think it was actually his career was tarnished a bit with the whole, you know, switching to the rival clubs. It just doesn't suit well for you or something. I think it just holds people back in their opinions of you. And I actually think he was quite, not underrated, but I think he was probably better than what people make him out to be. You know, I thought he was great defender for both clubs, did really well over the years, and probably not talked about enough. You know, I was just a big fan of Sol Campbell.
Yeah, he was a great player. I'd say, yeah, you're probably right. People do overlook him when they're talking about centre-backs. Kenneth, do you think he's underrated, or do you think that's fair, number 7 for him?
I think that's about fair, lad. I wouldn't say he was underrated. I think, there was a controversial move there. As Chrissy said, the first real Bosman sort of controversy transfer. But
yeah,
I give him credit. He took over, like, you know, the Arsenal cap, or, you know, the captaincy there off the likes of Adams, and took them still to the Invincibles. I think times he looked like a colossus at the back, and then other times he had errors in him. And he had big errors in him, like, as well. Although he had speed to recover, but I can remember games of Sol where, you know, if you're a striker of your club that you're following, you're watching Campbell there, does he really give you that sense of fear? For me, when I drag up against him, or these other guys, no. But he was still an animal on his day, but he did have an error to him that dropped him down. I think I had 9, Dixon.
Yeah, you did. Let me just check there now. Yeah, myself and yourself actually had him in 9th. So I can't believe Daly had him 4th, really.
Yeah, 4th.
Very high, very high.
Again, that's another talking point there again.
Jesus, he's having a mare when he's not. Must be a closet gooner. Anyway, then we take it up to number six, and I think we're now really getting into the elite centre-backs for me. Number six is a very good reader of the game, I thought. He was part of the meanest defence in Premier League history. Kenny, you'll absolutely love him. It's Ricardo Carvalho. Superb player. Superb player, wasn't he?
Wow. Carvalho, probably about the right place as well. For the longevity he had in the Premier League, he could have been higher for me again if he had been there longer. But, yeah, you know, he had an air class about him, didn't he? Like, skill, unbelievable on the ball. For a small lad compared to big strikers, he always won the big battles in the air. I always thought he was, like another defender later on, he was kind of the other perfect ball-playing defender. That was like a Rolls Royce of a defender there. Then you had Terry next to him there as well, that he could, you know, Terry could sweep up, let him go up and do it. Like 15 goals to concede in that season, 2004-05. That's an incredible stat. He had 135 league games, 63 goals only conceded, 64 clean sheets. It's a mean
record. Unbelievable.
He was perfect, in, you know, perfect defender, and position wise, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, probably no one really better than Carvalho in terms of positioning, reading the game, sniffing out the danger before it even happens. Chrissy, I'm sure, like, obviously Liverpool-Chelsea, there was a big rivalry back then, 2004, 2005, 2006. I'm sure you didn't like going up against Ricardo.
No, sure. He just, you know, by him, regardless of being a defender, he had a high IQ. You know, he's just so intelligent. Such an intelligent defender. You know, just stepping up the line himself and Terry, and just, you know, the different tricks in the arts of defending. You know, very rarely did I see him make slide tackles. You know, his reading of the game was so good that he'd already read the pass, or he could adjust his position so that he was just ready for what was going to happen next. You know, one of those defenders, kind of like the Italians, you know, the way the Italians said it, if you make a tackle, you've done something wrong. You know, Carvalho was like that, just so intelligent. And he was a huge part of that Chelsea team. And I think sometimes the fact that Terry was so good, it kind of, people, it overshadows how good Carvalho was. You know, he kind of doesn't get the respect he should have got in ways.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, go ahead there, Kenny.
I think Terry learned a lot from Carvalho, personally. Yeah. I think Terry became even better because of Carvalho. Carvalho came in, you got to, like, I know Terry at a great level, but Carvalho was the European Defender of the Year when he came in. Won the Champions League with Porto. Final, I think, of the Euro 2004 for Portugal. He was really, he was elite. And he brought Terry to that elite with being so composed on the ball and winning mentality. So, Carvalho, I don't know if you think it, Dixon, do you think he's underrated by other people that he doesn't get enough mentions?
Yeah, 100%. I think we obviously rate him highly because, obviously, Kenny, you're a Chelsea fan and we a lot about Chelsea and everything, but for me, he was like the first defender that came into the Premier League where he brought a culture to defending. I know we had out the back, like Hubia, like for example, in the early 2000s, but I think Carvalho just took that to another level then. And like you said, for a player that was probably not the biggest, he won a lot of duels. He was probably very strong and fit, like in terms of his core, and just his reading of the game was just so good, I thought. We're touching on the first Chelsea player to come into the top 10. Do you think if Rudiger, Thiago Silva maybe stays in the league another season or two, would they be in a show?
I think if Thiago was there a couple of years ago, I think he'd definitely be up there. If he was there for the amount of time Terry or the likes of Rio Vidic or any of those were there, I think Thiago would be number one. I think he's better than all the Premier League defenders that I've seen. That's a statement. But Rudiger, I think you'd have to go on to win a couple of titles, lad, to get in there. I think it's a real niche to get into that list.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, he's gone the right way, but I think you have a while for he can get there. Thiago's 38, so I don't think he's going to get there now.
No, probably not, no. But he, even though he is 38, only had, a season and a half in the league, he actually came into my thinking, like, just because...
Yes,
he had a great season. Like for 38-year-old, was unbelievable.
Never gets out of second gear, though.
Yeah, no, he's very, very good. Okay, we'll go into the top five now. And this player got 26 points. It is the man with the big head, Vincent Kompany. Captained an amazing City team that was full of leaders already. And we're talking about a centre-back here, but then we also talk about the goals he scored, which were title-winning goals, really. You think of the one against United, the header. You think of that strike against Leicester, which was unbelievable. But Chrissy, what did you make of Kompany? You had him. You had him high enough. You had him fifth.
Yeah. No. Kompany was unbelievable. You know, such a good on the ball, brave, great tackler, good in the air, good positioning, great leader as well. You know, I think the past few years in the Premier League, we haven't seen probably like the glory days with Keane and Vieira, and that we hadn't seen as many brilliant captains or leaders. And Kompany was one of the best for the last few years when he was playing. 100% unbelievable. And it takes a real leader, even if you have great players, it takes a real leader to kind of get a team to win titles. And City struggled at first to kind of win titles, and Kompany was one of the main reasons why City became better at the back, more solid as a group, and actually went on and won those titles, which isn't an easy thing to do. And look, I had him fifth, and it was painful because I was putting him fifth and kind of feeling he could definitely go up one or two more because he was just so good and part of such a good team, and he was one of the main reasons behind it.
Yeah, no, he definitely could go up. And I think, Kenny, you had him the highest. You had him third. So it shows you how highly you rated him. Just to touch on yourself there, Chrissy, I think that's the difference between what silverware and success can do. Because I would say Ledley King is as good a player as Kompany was, but obviously never did it at a big club or was injury prone. I'd say Kompany nearly had a similar injury record to King. But obviously he's very high on our ranking because of his success. Kenna, obviously you have him in third, very highly rated.
Yeah, I thought he was the modern day centre back now, lad. You know, especially when he played under Guardiola, and that you could see how comfortable he is on the ball playing defender. You know, great positioning on the pitch, great awareness around him with the offside traps, crucial goals, game difference maker. Again, I think he's level with Keane as second most to lift Premier League titles as captains before. And if he had stayed probably less injury prone, he could have been maybe second, or, you know, definitely he could have called like a little bit more. I thought he was an animal.
Yeah, an absolute beast. You're always worried when you've seen him on the team sheet, you thought it was going to be a tough day to break them down. Even when he had players like, you know, Di Michaelis alongside him, like, it was still a tough City defence. I think that one stage, I know Sabaleta was a very good player, but it was Di Michaelis one side of him and then Clichy the other. It wouldn't have been great defensively, but they were still just brilliant at the back. But that's Vincent Kompany anyway. The next three players, so we're going then second, third and fourth, and these are only separated by 2 points.
Whoa.
So fourth place we have on 30 points is Virgil van Dijk. Chris's expression says it all. He wants him there. But that's a great rating for someone that's been at the top level for what, 3-4 seasons.
Where was he placed by everyone?
I'll tell you now. So Daly had him second, which I thought was very high.
It's a bit high.
I think that's personally high.
I agree.
Chrissy had him third. Kenny, you had him fourth, and I had him fifth. So I had him the lowest. I brought him down.
All the way down, yeah.
Yeah. But in fairness to Van Dijk now, right, in that Liverpool title winning, he was unplayable. He was as good as Terry's levels back in 2000 and whenever they only conceded 16 or 13 goals. It probably is the best ever single season for a centre-back, maybe. Would you agree with that, Chrissy?
I would, yeah. I thought he was unbelievable. He's just the classes of a player. Just so hard to get by. So hard to just get anything off him. You know, in the air, on his feet, he's quick. He's just a Rolls Royce. He can do everything. And the fact that, you know, he's at Liverpool four or five years, he still hasn't lost a game at Anfield. And like Liverpool have had depleted teams, they've had bad days, and it's just like when he's there, you're not getting bet. He's just so good. And there's some times where you think you actually wish he'd just go in, he'd up the gears, because he's just like he's in second gear all the time and he's just dealing with stuff. It's nearly like he's bored that he's playing. You know, just sometimes when he's defending, it actually looks like he's bored because he can just deal with things so quick or so easily.
Well, unless he's against Richarlison, right?
Pardon?
Unless he comes up against Richarlison.
Oh.
Hold on here now. Very rarely does he get caught out. Very rarely. And that's why, and look, that's the sign, I suppose, of a good player too, because when you do get caught out, everybody will have a look at it. And that's the way it is. But look, I think if he continues the way he is on our list for now, look, if that's where he is, that's fine. But he definitely could move up that list with the way he's going. If Liverpool continue to be successful, he's the main man behind it. But terrific.
Yeah. I agree with you there, Chrissy, but it's a good sign when your centre-back's looking bored, I suppose. But Liverpool as a unit are very good defensively, so I think that's helped them as well. Kenan, what I know, obviously, you have him. Where do you have him? You have him fourth. Obviously, very highly rated as well.
Definitely.
I presume it'll be an argument between that season and Terry's season for the best ever as a centre-back. What do you think?
I don't know, lad. I think Terry's won the 15 goals in the Premier League season, and then what he did in the Champions League that season as well. It's quite hard to match, but it's the closest, probably. But for Van Dijk, he was an instant hit, really, at Liverpool, wasn't he? When he went in there, real instant to that Liverpool defence. Great in the air. Very quick for a big lad. Very quick. Very quick on the floor. But I thought before he got injured, he was unbeatable on the floor. Nobody was getting past him. Before his injury, there was no stopping that guy. He came second in the Ballon d'Or.
Do you think his levels have dropped?
A little bit. His levels were so high, lad, that it's bound to take a little while to get back to that level. Like, he was the best centre back in the world for how many years? Three, maybe, up to that point. And he was key to Liverpool's changing fortunes to get their first title. And he's gonna rise up that list if Liverpool keep doing what they're doing, and they're doing everything right at the moment. But he's, there's not much worries more you can say about Van Dijk. He's incredible.
Yeah. No, he is. He is phenomenal. Phenomenal player and phenomenal athlete as well. So we'll just move on to number three, who also had 30 points. So the same amount of points as Van Dijk. And they were both placed in the exact same order. So someone had him second, third, fourth, fifth. So the only reason he is ahead of Van Dijk is because I'm the host and I decided that Rio Ferdinand.
Here's the controversy of the day.
So if there was someone else hosting, maybe it would be the other way around, but that's the rules now, lads. That's the rules. But it's Rio Ferdinand, and I'll just say a few words on him because he's one of my favourite players in United's history. I had him second on my list. Where did Chrissy have him? Chrissy, you had him fourth, and Kenny, you had him fifth. But I know we're talking about Rolls-Royce centre-back for Van Dijk, but I think Ferdinand was the original Rolls-Royce. Pace, power, strength. You could also read the game as well. I remember he used to start attacks from United from deep. If Scholes wasn't there to collect it, Ferdinand would be the one to spray it about. Chrissy, you obviously have him higher up than Kenny, so I'll start with you. I presume you're not a huge fan of him, but you have to acknowledge the ability.
Oh yeah, you have to, even if you don't like the team he plays for, you don't like himself, you have to appreciate when a player is really good, and he was excellent. Man United don't win that many titles, and you're in that centre-back place for all that time if you're not good. He was excellent. And the partnership with Vidic was probably excellent for both players. They suited each other so well. And Ferdinand was kind of sweeping in behind, really good on the ball. Read the game really well, and just a terrific player. And look, I'd be first to admit that Vidic is kind of nicer on the eye at times, just because of the fierce tackles and all like that. And some people were kind of forget how good Ferdinand was with his job, because he go about it in maybe a quieter fashion. and just deal with things before they even start. And I remember you saying before, and when I was watching back old clips, I actually didn't realize how good he was on the ball, maybe passing it out of defense into midfield.
Really?
And I actually did. I didn't see it either. But he actually was excellent at getting on the ball and actually moving it up the pitch. And I actually never realized it before. And it's kind of something that people, I suppose, don't pick out. But terrific player. You know, what a defensive partnership he had with Vidic, and United were so good over those years, and he was a main part of it there for so long.
Kenny, you obviously haven't the lowest of everyone. Is there something that you think we're wrong about, or do you just not have him as highly rated as the others?
Between number 2 and 5, I could have picked anyone.
Nah, fair enough.
But when I think of Rio Ferdinand Dixon, I think of ball playing defender. Remember I was saying about Carvalho earlier on, the other guy, the original Rolls Royce of a passing defender, bringing the ball out, composing the ball, was Rio Ferdinand. So I don't know how Chrissy would say most people, like, you know, maybe he's one of a few that wouldn't have thought about that. You're going back to his West Ham and Leeds days when he was doing this ball out, like from the back. I always thought having someone like that, like we had with Carvalho and Terry,
yeah,
I had Vidic, a rock, and a guy who would bring it forward, being able to pass it out. If he made an error in that way, which Ferdinand did once or twice, he had someone to sweep up who wouldn't have had, let's say, his pace. Rio had great pace. Same with the England side when you had Terry next to him. It was a great partnership.
Yeah.
But absolute Rolls Royce of a defender in his day. And as I say, anywhere from 2 to 5 there, anyone could have been on any given day.
That's fair enough. I think a lot of Ferdinand's... Sorry, go ahead.
It's nothing against Rio Ferdinand. It's just, I suppose, it's just on the day. Like, he could have been higher, or, you know, they're so good. Such a tough batch to pick from.
Yeah, no, 2 to 6 was very difficult for me as well. But I think Ferdinand owes a lot of his ball playing ability to actually. I remember Rio telling the story about Keane in his first few training sessions, where Rio was obviously getting on the ball, like being comfortable on the ball and passing it out to the fullbacks. And Keane stopped the training session and told him, like, we don't do that here. Like, you need to penetrate the lines. You need to punch it into the centre midfielders or the wingers or the strikers if it's on. So I think that made Ferdinand a bit braver on the ball because he did have the ability to do that. And I think Keane recognised it, but just came out in a bit of a different way with Keane. He was more given out to him.
But that's a good thing, though, for Rio, that he was able to actually listen to Roy Keane and go the way he did, because Keane's a tough character, as you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's 100%, and that's Rio Ferdinand number 3. On a technicality now, so I just want to clear that up. Number 2, then we'll move on. It's 32 points, so just ahead of 3 and 4. It's Nemanja Vidic. Now, Vidic for me could be one of the best transfer deals in Premier League history. An absolute warrior of a centre back, and I think Chrissy, as you mentioned, for Carragher, he puts his head where others wouldn't put their foot. So, Ken, as you said, like the perfect complement to Ferdinand, like Carvalho was to Terry. Chrissy, I know you actually have fond memories of Vidic, which we won't go into. But Ken, a word on Vidic. I know you were a fan.
Best January transfer signing of all time, I'd say, lad. Fair enough. Definitely up there as well with one of the best Premier League signings, but to put him as number 1 out of all them that I can think of, January stands out. Yeah. What a rock. Powerhouse at the back, you know, and you've seen Vidic United. I used to hate coming up against United when I seen Vidic and Ferdinand, but Vidic always put that extra bit of fear, the physicality he brought to the pitch, so strong. You know, he looked into it, you could see in his eyes, ready for battle. And such a partnership for years and years at Rio. That was just like, to go that long, was probably the best partnership in Premier League history. For to go on such a length, you know, 211 appearances, 15 goals, 5 titles. You know, you couldn't ask for more. You won the Champions League there and a few other cups, like,
yeah,
4-time. But I think did he win the player as well one season, Dixon? I think he won it.
He might have, actually. I have to look into that.
I think he did. I think he did one season, but he's definitely in 4 team of the year appearances.
It's good. Yeah, it's very good.
I can't say any higher than Vidic, you know, where he is on my list. And think he's brilliant.
Actually, yourself and Chrissy had him second. I had him third. Chrissy, second on the list. He's ahead of Van Dijk for you. Obviously, that's tough to do. But what did you think of him?
I know. I stand by that at this present time. Vidic was unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Just you can just imagine, like, if you were a player and you were up front and you were mentally not ready or prepared for the game, or you were a little bit off, like, Vidic would turn you off the game in the first 5 minutes, you know, with tackles, how hard he'd be. Even if you're a big striker, like, he'd be beating you in the air, he'd be shouldering you, he'd be hands would be all over you. Just unbelievable. I'd say he put so many strikers off their game that it actually became an easy day for him, because you just had to be in for a battle with Vidic, because he was going to make it a battle against you. And, you know, like I said earlier, you said to me not to mention the whole Torres thing with Vidic, but it's talked about so much because Vidic was caught out so little. And that's what the great player, that's why people talk about it with the great players, because they're caught out so little times that everybody goes crazy about it.
Yeah, fair enough.
He was just unbelievable. You know, and I say it again, like, Kenneth, him and Ferdinand as a partnership, wow, it was just incredible.
It was like, yeah, as you said, like, Chrissy, if you weren't up for it, and Vidic hit you early on, you think, oh, I'll go on to the other centre back. But the other centre back was Ferdinand, who was equally as good in a different way, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, if the centre back's coming out nicking the ball ahead of you, like, oh, I think you're done. Like, do you know?
I think your best thing to do then, Dixon, is just, you know, the easy option, just head over to Gary Neville. Just go out wide.
It's not could have been hard. That. Probably, yeah, probably. fair enough. So that's the top nine, lads. So the number one was unanimous. We had all had him placed number one in our top 10. So he comes in with 40 points. And it is the Premier League legend, Titus Bramble. I know. John Terry, obviously, JT. And all I have written on my notes here is for Kenneth to take away.
Absolutely. John Terry, 192 appearances in the league, 42 goals, record for the defender in the league, 5 Premier League titles, most as captain in Premier League history. Shall I just put that out there?
Go ahead, you can.
Just out of the Premier League context, Dixon, for a second here. He's made more appearances in World 11s than any other Premier League player. As in end of the season. So he made it 5 times. UEFA Defender of the Year 3 times. But as on the pitch, commanding, no nonsense, tenacious, physical defender, captain, leader, legend for a reason. First thing you type into Google, captain, leader, legend. The man himself, John Terry, appears. The thing I loved about Terry was he put his body on the line. Chelsea forced before anything else, positioning, anticipation of areas where to be, ability to read the game. It wasn't blessed with pace like other defenders, but he could read the game so well. Real rock at the back, I have to say. He was a leader of a very successful side in that time, clean sheets in Premier League history, and as we said earlier on with Carvalho, I think he learned a lot from him. And they have the best partnership, but definitely the GOAT of Premier League defenders.
Yeah, 100% lad. I have him number one. I think, obviously, some people would say Vidic Terry or Ferdinand Terry or whatever, but I think Terry was a step above them. To captain that Chelsea team, who, again, like, it's kind of like Van Dijk coming in for Liverpool's first Premier League title. Terry kind of did that for Chelsea. And the longevity he had. And I think what was great about Terry was that we always remember him as this lad who put his head anywhere and all this kind of stuff, but he was actually very good at reading the game as well. Like, you kind of rarely see Terry making last-ditch tackles. I know there's obviously a few times, and if you look up YouTube, there'll be a highlight reel of them, but they're few and far between. And I just think he was a phenomenal defender. Like, and I think it all sums it up. I think it was the League Cup or FA Cup final against Arsenal, was it, when he was, I think it was a corner for Chelsea and...
Diaby.
The diving header, he was looking for the goal, and obviously he got knocked out, but just epitomised him, really. Like, just, he'd do anything for Chelsea, and he'd do anything no matter what team he was on. Like, he was that kind of player. He just loved football and loved wanting to defend. So, brilliant player.
Absolutely. Just Chrissy, body on the line.
Chrissy, you obviously have number one as well. Just a few words on Terry, if you can.
Yeah, no, Terry was unbelievable. It was as hard as it was to pick to maybe the top five. The number one for me was a no-brainer. Terry was just unbelievable. You know, it was a great Chelsea team he was in, but just as regards being a leader himself, on the ball was very good, read the game very well, heading in the air, even in the opponent's box for goals, you know, terrific, really good. And even when he got older, like he just, his experience went up and he got wiser and just overall just unbelievable player. And, you know, with the list of players that we have, that we put Terry first and we're kind of, I don't know, so certain that he's the number one just shows how good he was. And even though I say Virgil van Dijk, and I hear Liverpool fans saying this as well, for Van Dijk to ever get first, if he was ever going to get near, would have to still do an awful lot, even though how good he is, to outdo Terry, because Terry was consistently good for so many years in the Premier League and won so many trophies and so many accolades as well. Terrific, terrific defender.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we're so certain on. He is the undisputed centre-back, GOAT. So that's it, lads. I'll just run through the top 10 again. So in 10th, we have Carragher. In 9th, we have Stam, but with 5 points. In 8th, we have Hoopia. 7th, we have Campbell. 6th, Ricardo Carvalho. 5th, Vincent Kompany. Number 4, Virgil van Dijk. Number 3, Rio Ferdinand, but on 30 points. 2nd, Nemanja Vidic. And number 1, John Terry.
A pretty Dixon. Good list, but you know, pretty good list.
Just before you go, I think just for we've done the strikers, midfielders, wingers. I just think in the centre backs, it's more evident than anywhere else, and that's because we only seen from let's say 2000. There was so many good centre backs in the 90s that if we had a listener who was maybe in his full flow watching football in the 90s. There's just so many other players that we, the likes of Paul McGrath, Bruce, Pallister,
Colin Hendry,
that you're thinking even Tony Adams. I didn't have Stam, that you kind of feel like if you'd have seen him, like they could, what a list that would be, you know, to be so many of those players we have gone.
Someone who was 10 or 15 years older than us, their top 10 would look totally different to say, but look, that's the way it has to be done. And even I think it was Daly who was sending me on his list so I could tally up the top 10. He even said, when you're looking at football as a young lad, like in the 90s and 2000s, you weren't really paying attention to centre-backs and how they play. Like, so it's actually tougher to pick from the early 2000s. Sorry, can I go again?
Unless you played in that position when you were growing up, you had someone that you looked at, like who you'd watch week in, like week out, or you'd love that player, you know, so...
Yeah, fair enough.
For a centre back, anyway, it's not right back.
Carragher's very lucky to get in there for me. It's a very good 10. That's not look. I think there was better defenders than Carragher. Some were mentioned, some weren't. As in Cahill, David Luiz, definitely better than Carragher for me. Both there's probably more there that I could have said, but it's a good list. Other than probably number 10, I would say.
Yeah, no, I have to say that top 10 for me is probably the most I agree with of any of the top 10s we've done so far. So I'm quite happy with it. And thanks very much, boys. Thanks for your input.
Thanks very much, lads.
Thanks, Don.
There you have it. Captain, leader, legend, John Terry takes the number one spot quite convincingly. If anyone has any explanation to Daly's number 10 pick, I'm Eric Laporte. Please let us know.